thinking about him reminds me of the message that we're actually going to be dealing with tonight. We're going to be dealing with the subject of searching for grace. Searching for grace. Have you ever found yourself in a difficult situation when you began to pray that God would do something miraculous? Something miraculous to change the circumstances that you're facing. I'm sure that all of us can remember at least one instance when that has been true. And for some, like myself, you may be able to remember several instances where you have prayed and you just really needed God to do something that would be miraculous. Well, the truth we need to understand is that God never has promised to deliver us from troublesome times. However, He has promised that His grace is always sufficient. His grace is always sufficient. Now, when we talk about grace, we understand basic Christianity begins with grace. Basic Christianity begins when our sins are washed away and we are saved from the penalty of our sin. Not because of any good thing that we have done, and not because of any religious deeds or sacraments or ordinances that we may have followed, but it's all by God's amazing grace that we are saved. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul said so clearly, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." However, after we are saved by God's grace, I want you to know that we never outgrow our need for God's grace. We never outgrow our need for God's grace. In fact, that's why we're commanded in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. Grow in grace. So in every situation that we face, in every circumstance that we meet up with, we need to understand that God's grace is working. God's grace is at work. And by way of introduction, let me just show you very quickly three ways we can experience God's grace at work in our lives. First of all, we experience His grace by His presence. By His presence. You remember the wonderful promise? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But many times we think in our minds, if that is really true, if it is really true that God is with me, then why doesn't He do something to change my circumstances? Why doesn't He do something to make my life just a little more comfortable and a little bit better? Well, the reason is simply because of the fact that before God changes our circumstances, God wants to change our hearts. He wants to change our hearts. Someone has well said, if our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will certainly become worse. Something to think about. Every circumstance that God allows to come into our lives, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, verse 29, every circumstance, it's designed for one purpose, and that purpose is to make us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So in our hard times, when we're facing difficult circumstances, going through testings and trials that are not pleasant, if we will humbly look to our Heavenly Father, who has promised that He is always going to be with us, we will find His grace at work. And the closer we draw to Him, then we will find not only is He drawing us to Himself, but He's transforming us into what we ought to be. We see God's grace at work by His presence, number two, by His power. When we're pressed down by the trials and difficulties of life until it seems there's no more strength to go forward, we're pressed down so that it seems that there's just no more strength to get up and continue on. Remember the Apostle Paul's testimony. He went through a very trying time in his life. And the Apostle Paul gave this testimony concerning God's power. Here's what he said, 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said unto me, this is God speaking to Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so if we will humbly allow God to remove our pride, and if we will allow God to remove our sense of self-sufficiency, we will begin to see His power graciously working in our lives. We experience the grace of God by His presence. We experience it by His power. And then last of all, by His provision. Even if God does not change our circumstances, if we are doing what we ought to be, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, then all of these things, the necessities of life, will be added to you, even though we're going through a difficult time in our life. And I think that's why the psalmist made the observation. In Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that's exactly what we're going to be seeing in our text today. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. Over the past couple of weeks, we have seen how Naomi faced some hard and some very difficult circumstances in her life. The Midianites had come and confiscated the food supplies there in Israel. The people were beginning to suffer want. Her husband, you remember, Elimelech, he made the determination to lead his family away from God's land, away from God's people, away from God's dwelling place there in the temple. And he decided that he was going to find safety and shelter in the land of God's enemies, in the land of Moab. But instead of their circumstances getting better, you remember we saw that things only got worse. Things got worse. Elimelech died, making Naomi to be a widow in a strange land. Her sons married Moabite women, and then 10 years later, they also died, leaving her now all alone in a strange land. But then she heard how that the Lord God had delivered His people from the hands of the Midianites. Once again, God was blessing His chosen people. And so as a result of that, Naomi determined that she would return. She would return to Bethlehem. But when she returned, she was a bitter woman who needed the Lord God to do a work in her life. Now, from our story as we continue on now, we're going to see the story is going to focus on three key personalities. Three key personalities. First of all, there is Naomi, as we've already noted. She is a picture of a backslidden believer. She's the picture of a backslidden believer. In our previous studies in Ruth chapter 1, we saw how that she had chosen to leave the place of God's blessing. And then she eventually returned to the place of God's blessing. And her example, by the way, gives great hope for anyone who has turned their back on God. Because just like the prodigal son, we can always return to the Father's house and be graciously accepted. And that's exactly what Naomi did. Naomi. And then also, number two, there is Boaz. Boaz. Boaz is he's a picture or what we would call a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll say more about him later in this message and also in the weeks to come. But there's Naomi, there's Boaz, and then thirdly, of course, there's Ruth. We've already met her. But Ruth, you remember, is actually the heroine of the story. She is the Moabite lady who came to believe in the true and the living God and was saved by God's grace. And now she gives to us a picture of a new believer. She's a new believer who is learning about the need for more of God's grace. You remember what I said? We never outgrow our need for God's grace. And so let's notice three elements of her searching for grace. Her searching for grace. Notice with me, number one, the purpose in her search. The purpose in her search. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things that we find here. First of all, I want you to notice that she sought fulfillment. She sought fulfillment. She said, Let me now go to the field, because there was a work. There was a work that needed to be done, and she was willing to do it. When a person is truly saved by the grace of God, they naturally have a desire. They naturally have a desire to fulfill God's purpose for their life by serving and by ministering to others. Certainly that was true of the man whom the Lord Jesus had delivered of the legion of demons, you remember, in Mark chapter 5. After he was delivered, after he has been wonderfully saved and his life had been totally changed, that man wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Mark 5:18, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man begged the Lord Jesus to allow him to become one of his followers, one of his disciples. But Jesus didn't allow that, you remember. Jesus would not allow it. And so Jesus told the man to go and tell others all of the things that God had done for him. And so therefore, immediately, the Bible says in Mark 5:20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Ruth wanted to fulfill God's plan. She wanted to fulfill God's purpose for her life. And so she sought fulfillment. But not only that, I want you to notice she sought sustenance. She sought sustenance. Now remember, Naomi had been away from home for many years. She had been unable to tend to her fields. She had been unable to plow her ground, to sow her seeds, to reap her harvest. And Ruth realized that she in her own self had nothing to satisfy their need. And so therefore she determined to go to a source, to go to a source who would be able and who would be willing to meet the need. Now the same thing is true with us. Before we can be used of God to minister to others, we need to realize that in ourselves, we have nothing of eternal value to offer. We have nothing of eternal value. And therefore, we must go to the one source who can supply our need, which that naturally brings us then to the next point. Let her see. She sought favor. And it's seen in the words in our text, she needed someone who would show grace. She needed someone who would show grace. First of all, show grace by overlooking her past. To show grace by overlooking her pedigree. And to show grace by simply allowing her to glean in his fields so that she would have everything that she needed to meet the need that existed. When we come to God asking him to supply that which is needed in our own lives, needed to equip us to minister to others, to serve others, we cannot come on the merits of our own goodness. It's just like salvation. We don't get saved on the merits of our own goodness or by our own works. We get saved by God's grace. And when it comes to having that which we need in order that we might effectively serve and minister, it's not in our own merits that we find the things that we need, but it's by his grace. That was the purpose of her search. She was searching for grace. Then I want you to notice number two, the providence in her search. The providence. There are two things that we find here concerning God's grace in her search. First of all, I want you to notice God's involved in this thing. It involved God's command. It involved God's command. Verse number 3 says that she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now this was actually a gracious provision. that the Lord God had made centuries before Ruth was ever born. This was a provision God had made before Ruth had ever come upon the earth. The Lord God had said way back in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22, He said, "When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God." And so God told the nation of Israel, when it comes harvest time, and you go into the field and you begin to reap the harvest that I have given to you, don't you take everything. Don't go in and clean out all the corners. And if something that happens to be dropped, don't you run back and pick it up and glean where you have already harvested. God said, no, don't you do that. You leave something there. And He said, you leave it for the poor and the stranger. You know who that was? That was Naomi. Ruth, rather. That was Ruth. She was poor. And she wasn't an Israelite. She was a stranger. And this command that God gave to show grace to those who were poor and strangers, this command included a harvest concerning the sheaves of the field, Deuteronomy verse 24, verse 19, chapter 24, verse 19. It included a harvest of the olives and the tree, Deuteronomy 24, verse 20. And it also included the harvest of the grapes on the vine, Deuteronomy 24, verse 21. The same thing is true for us. You see, our standing before God and our ability to minister to others, it is possible. It's possible only because of the gracious plan that God put into place before we were born. In fact, it's a plan God put into place before the foundations of the world were laid. It involved God's grace. God's grace. It involved God's command. God's command. Not only that, it involved God's control. It involved God's control. In verse number 3, here's what it says. And her hap. Now she's gone out to look for a place to glean. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, humanly speaking, it seemed that this meeting was just blind luck. It just so happened, you know. But from God's perspective, this was sovereignty in action. This is sovereignty in action. One writer has well noted that the words accident, happenstance, and coincidence do not exist in God's dictionary. Ruth did not know it. Ruth did not know it yet. But the Lord God was already pulling the strings in her life to bring her to the right place at the right time to accomplish His perfect plan. His perfect plan. The providence in her search. God was involved in all of that. So we see the purpose of the search. We see the providence in the search. And then I want you to notice number 3, the person in her search. Ruth, when she left home that morning, she thought that she was simply looking for a meal. She did not realize that God was about to introduce her to a man. I want you to notice 3 things the Bible tells us about this man. First of all, I want you to notice that he was related. He was related. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You know, that's exactly what Ruth needed. That's exactly what Ruth needed. Although she didn't know it, that's what she needed. Because you see, Boaz, he is now qualified to perform the function of the kinsman redeemer, according to the law of God. And you can read about that in Numbers 27, verse 8 to 11, and we're going to talk more about it in the weeks to come. But as we said before, Boaz, now remember, he is a type, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. And he is our Redeemer because he became a kinsman. He became a man in order that he might redeem us from our sin. And so in Boaz, we need to see, first of all, that he was related. Letter B, also notice he was respected. The Bible says in verse 1, he was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. In fact, it's interesting that the name Boaz means in it is strength. In it is strength. In fact, that's why King Solomon, when he was building the temple, you read about it in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 21. He raised up two pillars to hold up the roof. And one of those pillars was called Jachin, and the other pillar was called Boaz. It was called Boaz. Again, Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus said concerning himself in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so Boaz, he was a man of great power. He was a man of great authority, which naturally meant, letter C, he was rich. He was rich. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, he was a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. Now, it's obvious from the context that Naomi knew Boaz. So immediately the question comes to mind, if she knew Boaz, then why didn't she go to him for help as soon as she came back to the city of Bethlehem? And the answer is simply because of the fact, you remember we saw it 2 weeks ago, she was covering her tracks. She was trying to cover her tracks. And yet Naomi's foolish pride did not change the fact that Boaz had all of the resources that were necessary to carry out the task of her redemption and to sustain her for the rest of her life. And that the very same thing is true for us when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the resources of heaven and earth, they belong to Him. They belong to Him. And He certainly, certainly can provide our every need. As we consider Ruth's search for grace, let me close with a verse that I find in the book of Psalms. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." It was true in the life of Ruth. It's true in our lives as well. Maybe today that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You need God's grace. You need God's grace to give to you the salvation that you can never earn, that you can never deserve. And you need God's grace to be shown to you. And the way you receive that grace is simply by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, by His grace, He gives to you the wonderful gift of eternal life. For those of us who are saved, it's by His grace that He gives to us the strength. He gives to us the wisdom. He gives to us the ability to effectively serve Him by ministering to others. I pray that tonight we will carefully consider the example of Ruth, and that we also will go to the source and find the grace that we need to help us in every circumstance that we face. Thank you so much for joining with us tonight. May God bless you.